sometimes in opposition, you have good weeks and bad weeks, but you've got to say this week the government's given you a good free hit or two, haven't they? Especially with the Premier being booted out of Parliament.
Yeah, really. We've kept them under an enormous amount of pressure all week, just because they haven't actually faced up to many of the challenges that are in, you know, that make up being a government, and asked serious questions, particularly about the Ashley incident and the person that was found in a dementia wing after being sentenced to 45 years jail. And really, the Premier ended up losing control, and the Speaker kicked him out. I mean, the upshot is that the Speaker controls the Parliament, the Premier is in charge of the government. Everyone looks to the Premier as to whether he's got, control of himself and therefore the government. And unfortunately, from his perspective, that didn't go well for him because he's the first Premier in Tasmania's history to be ever kicked out of question time.
Would it make an interesting discussion in the next Cabinet meeting, won't it?
Absolutely. I mean, Elise Archer's not in Cabinet, but...
Probably won't be after that.
I can have a lot of free kicks on this, Martin, but the upshot is that there's a lot of tension in the Liberal Party right at the moment, and it's mainly about Adam Brooks losing his portfolio position and Guy Barnett being appointed to that position. And our view is that Elise Archer believed that she was more senior and deserved to be put into Cabinet. Well, the Speaker's role is an important one, but if you want to make a difference in Parliament, she's a relatively young member of Parliament who sees herself as making a significant contribution to Tasmania. The only way you can do that is if you're in government, and I think that she believes that she's been let down because, while the Premier was out of hand and effectively lost control, I've seen worse performances, and she actually kicked him out for what was just a talking over when she started to suggest that the House was out of order, which is probably... A sign that it wasn't really about him acting up in Parliament. It was more about her being annoyed how she'd been treated.
You mentioned that she's not in Cabinet. I wouldn't be holding her breath after this now if I was her. But
no.
The other thing, the big story of the week too, has been the jobs crisis. Now, you've labelled the rise in unemployment as a jobs crisis. The government have refused to accept that it is a jobs crisis. So we're poles apart on this one, aren't we?
Well, they kicked a massive own goal. The Premier got up and said, oh, under you lot, you lost 50 jobs a month. They've lost 350 jobs a month, 3,500 jobs lost in the last 10 months. You know, it's compared to the previous government, particularly when we were, you know, coming off the back of a global financial crisis that affected the whole world with the exchange rate going up so high, you know, our dollar was worth over a dollar compared to the American dollar, which made, you know, low-value commodities really difficult to sell, like wood chips, for example, which sent guns broke. We had shrinking revenues from the GST. They've actually got increased revenues from GST. The dollar is back to about 75-odd cents, you know, from a consistency perspective, which is a 25% increase, or they're 25% better off in terms of selling overseas, weight against the American dollar, which most commodities are traded under, and they've got a situation where they've got a participation rate in Tasmania, which is at 59.3%, when it was at 59.9% under us. Peter Gutwin said we're effectively in recession. The upshot is that we would have an unemployment rate if we had the same national participation rate in Tasmania of over 14%. There is a jobs crisis in our state, and when we had a problem, we actually faced up to it. We worked with the TCCI and those TASCOS and others to try to think of ways to stimulate the economy. We brought in the first home builders grant at that stage of $30,000, which stimulated the building industry. We worked with local government around headworks charges and other things. So we're saying to the government, sit down, talk to people, think of ways to actually start to stimulate employment opportunities in our state in a real way and engage with the Tasmanian people. They just say, no, there's not a problem.
Well, you mentioned TASCOS there, which is, of course, the Tasmanian Council of Social Services, and they've actually asked the government to convene a jobs summit, and the government said no.
They have, and it's so arrogant. I mean, Jan Davis, in Launceston is calling for the same, because the economy is effectively three-speed, as I've talked to you about before. Hobart, it seems to be going okay. Tourism's big and nothing much has changed. Incat's going okay. There's a few manufacturing opportunities down here where, you know, unemployment seems to be relatively stable. But in the north of the state, the northwest of Tasmania, it's really tough. And then you've got the issues associated with the floods and then the dairy prices, which are depressing the economy. So what we need to do is, if you've got a grasp of things and you're actually trying to lead the state through these difficult times, well, then you actually proactively work on them. You can't make any headway on these things if you don't admit you've got a problem in the first place. And anyone who understands what's happening on the north, northwest, and particularly the west coast of the mining industry knows that what we ought to be doing is getting on and thinking about how we can improve and putting ideas forward that actually stimulate opportunity as opposed to the way the government's conducting itself.
And Brian, finally, before you go, the floods, of course, we know how devastating they were a couple of months ago. You've been pushing for an independent inquiry about some of the things that happened leading up to it, including cloud seeding and things like that, and it looks like the government's finally agreed to it.
Well, they have. It sort of came out of the blue in the end, because Matthew Glenn had been saying, no, we won't be having any independent inquiry into the cloud seeding issue, and then we raised the... I moved the matter of public importance off the back of talking to many people who were devastated by the floods up the Mersey Valley, the Forth Valley, and certainly in the southern part of Tasmania through the Ouse system there. And people were concerned about that, the cloud seeding. Talking to people who had lost a lot of stock and et cetera, want to understand how we can improve on into the future, because some of the infrastructure, as we know, on particularly on the rail line, has been put back exactly the same in the Mersey Valley. There was a situation where at Mersey Lea, the rail line there effectively made a dam, and there was a 2 metre difference between the water level on the top side of the rail line compared to the bottom. In other words, it was a waterfall of 2 metres going over. When it burst,
it took the road bridge with it, didn't it?
Water go down. Mm. Yeah, and it washed out bridges, and 300 cattle on one place got washed away. And we all know the story. It's terrible. So what we believe is there needs to be an independent inquiry, just as there was after the Denali bushfires, so that you make sure you understand you can mitigate against these things on in the future, and have a look at the cloud seeding issue as well. We didn't expect them to vote for it. They didn't vote for our motion, but they said they would do it. Now we just need to get on and find out what is the time frame, who the person is that's going to be important.
Terms of reference.
Terms of reference. So
that sort of stuff too, yeah.
All that things needs to happen now, yeah.
Awesome. We look forward to finding out what the outcome of that is. Brian, thanks as always for your time today, and we'll catch up with you again in a fortnight for another Polly's Perch.
Appreciate it, man.